Before we get going, could you bow with me in prayer? Dear God, we thank you so much for your word, Lord. We pray, God, that you would speak through it today, God. We pray that you would open up our hearts and our ears to receive it, God. And I pray, Lord, that you would use it to change us into the likeness of your Son. Pray these things in your name. Amen. You know, I've been told that if you look at an address, you can actually find the location simply by looking at it. Like, all of the components are there. I can look at that address, and sometimes I can find it if I type it into a, like, GPS. Like, I'm terrible with directions. If you've ever had me on my way to your house, there's a good chance that I've called you asking where it is, because I just don't have that internal compass. Some of you might be kind of scared to know that I also get to drive the van when we go down to Mexico. So on the mission trip, we're going there, and there's literally one turn that you need to make when you get to the border. I missed it. I went the other way, and we almost found a new site somewhere in Mexicali. Fortunately, there was a vehicle behind us that was acting really funny, and eventually I decided to pull over to see what they were so worried about, apparently I was going the wrong way. But this problem with direction is something that I've had for a long time now. And I think it goes back to when I was a little boy, when I was younger. We'd go on family trips. And I don't know if you've been on a family vacation, but, you know, sometimes people maybe fly and they get to their destination. But my family, we didn't trust planes, so we drove everywhere. We'd all cram into that old car, and we'd be there, and we'd go places. And as we drove everywhere, I slept everywhere. I had no idea where anything more than 10 minutes away from my house even was. All I knew that I would get in the car, I'd go to sleep, and I'd wake up at my destination, and it was amazing. It was awesome. It's got to be one of the best ways to travel, to just get in a car, go to sleep, and wake up at grandma's house. It was the best. And it worked because my dad had this amazing sense of direction. It didn't matter where we were going, he seemed to always know the way, and I could just literally rest easy knowing that he knew the way. Our scripture today comes from John chapter 10. And Jesus is talking about shepherds, and he's talking about the good shepherd. And this comes right after the famous passage where he declares that he is the good shepherd, and he talks about what the good shepherd does. So if you want, you can go back and look at that maybe later. But we're picking up in chapter 10, verse 22. And it says, "Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly.'" Now, to understand what's going on here, John gives us some information. He says it was Jerusalem. And if you know, Jerusalem's kind of the religious center for the day. So Jesus is there, and there's this growing tension between Jesus and the religious authorities. And this always happens in Jerusalem. So Jesus is there, and it says that the Jews gathered around him. And the picture there, it's not a friendly gathering. This is something that there's some hostility here. They gather around him, and he's inside. So there's going to be no escaping. Jesus has to deal with the people here. And they ask him, "Are you the Christ? Are you the Christ?" In verse 25, Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me." When Jesus answers this question of whether he's the Christ, he simply points to his deeds. Because see, what they wanted to do, they wanted to get him to say something. They wanted to get him to say that I am the Christ. But Jesus says, "Look at the deeds that I've done. I've told you. I've shown you." Because see, the people, they could argue with the words of Christ, but they couldn't argue with what Christ had accomplished. They couldn't argue with what Christ was doing among them. And then it goes on in verse 26, Jesus says, "But you do not believe because you are not my sheep." Notice the repetition here. "You do not believe." This is the second time Jesus said that. "You do not believe. You do not believe because you are not my sheep." The problem is not with Jesus. The problem is not with Jesus, who he is. The problem is not with what he has done. The problem is not with what Jesus has said. The problem is simply with them and their unbelief. Then he goes on in verse 27, he says, "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them. They follow me, and I give them eternal life." And Jesus makes the distinction here. He says, the sheep are those who believe, and those who believe follow. They hear his voice, and Jesus gives them eternal life. All those statements are connected. The sheep hear and the follow, and the shepherd knows them, and the shepherd gives them life. And then continue on, it says, "And they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." So Jesus promises eternal life, and then he says that these promises are tied to God the Father. Think about that. You know, there's a common saying that a promise is only as good as the person making it. And when you think about somebody making a promise and having that promise tied to God the Father, to the maker of heaven and earth, that's someone who can keep his promise, isn't it? That's someone powerful enough to keep a powerful promise. And that's what Jesus is doing. And then Jesus goes on and Jesus says that I and the Father are one. And so I am promising this to you. I am promising this to you as God the Father Almighty, as God Almighty incarnate. And when we look at this passage, there's an underlying question here. And I don't know if you see it, but there's an underlying question, and it's a question that we still have to deal with today. Simply this: who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? That was the question they were asking him 2,000 years ago, and that's the question that people are still asking today. Who is Jesus? If you've been driving around, I'm sure you've noticed that there's some bumper stickers. There's those "Jesus is blank." You know, it's something we still deal with. We're still trying to fill in that blank. Who is Jesus? That question hasn't changed. And when we look at it, the answer also hasn't changed. The answer still is what Jesus told them, that his deeds have made known who he is. You know, we're still in the Easter season, and when we look at what Jesus accomplished on the cross, we know who Jesus is. The answer hasn't changed. The deeds of Christ bear witness to who he is. So the question's the same, the answer's the same, but the problem's the same too. And the problem was this, that they did not believe. Jesus says, still, you do not believe. Last week, Dr. Kress talked about belief, and he talked about believing it, and it's hard. It's hard sometimes to believe in the truth. It's hard to believe in the resurrection. It's hard to believe in all these things. And it's hard on an intellectual level. It can be hard to kind of get your mind around this. But also on a practical level, it can sometimes be hard. Because if we acknowledge the truth, it changes things. If we acknowledge that Jesus is the risen Son of God, that he was the Messiah, it changes everything. You know, think about the Pharisees, the people that are gathered around Jesus trying to get him to slip up in this way. The people there, think about for them. If they acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah, it would change everything about their lives. It would mean that they'd have to subject themselves to the person of Jesus Christ rather than to the laws. And they liked the laws. They were good at that. They weren't very good at following Jesus. And if they acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah, it would change things for them. And that's the same thing with us, isn't it? If we acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ, if we acknowledge that Jesus is the Messiah, it changes things. It changes the dynamic. It means that we are sheep and that he is our shepherd, that God is our shepherd. And I think sometimes we like the idea that God is our shepherd, but when we start trying to understand what it means to be sheep, sometimes that's a little bit harder. I don't know if you've ever, that's not a typical compliment we give. You know, I don't usually tell my friends, you know, man, that was a totally sheepish thing that you did back there. You know, dude, way to follow the crowd on that one. Way to follow the crowd on that one. You know, we don't like sheep. We like independence. We like freedom. We like these things that we get to call the shots and make the decisions. And to be a sheep is to be subject to a shepherd. It's to be part of a flock. But I will admit that sometimes when I'm driving a van in Mexico, I kind of would like to be a sheep. I'd like to maybe be out of that driver's seat and just being along for the ride. And when I think back, I really miss just family trips where I was small enough to fall asleep in a car and just wake up at my destination. And when I think about why that is, why I was able to do that, because when my dad drove, I had absolutely no idea where we were going. I just knew I was supposed to get in the car. I didn't know where we were going. I didn't know the way. And I'm sure that I asked a million times how long it was until we got there. But the only thing that mattered was that I knew my dad. When we were driving, I knew that my dad knew the way and I could trust him. And because I could trust him, it didn't matter where we were going. It didn't matter what the directions were. It didn't matter how we were going to get there. All that mattered was that I trusted him to get me there, that I trusted him to lead us. And in many ways, that's what this situation boils down to. When we look at what it means to be a follower, what it means to be a sheep, what it means to be subject to a shepherd, that's what it boils down to, is what is your relationship to the shepherd? Do you know his voice? Do you follow him? And do you trust him? A lot of you are probably familiar with who Martin Luther is, in addition to being an amazing theologian, he also had some great insights on sheep, and I'm going to share that with you. And Luther says, "There's this lovely, delightful picture that you may see for yourself among sheep. When a stranger calls, 'Come sheep,' it runs and flees. And the more you call, the more it runs, as if a wolf were after it, for it doesn't know the strange voice. But where the shepherd makes himself heard a little, they all run to him. They all run to him, for they know his voice. And this is how all true Christians should be, hear no voice but their shepherd's." It comes as no surprise that we live in a culture that is saturated with advertisements and voices and things that are just around us. Today, you are subject to more advertising than anyone has ever experienced in the history of humanity. We are bombarded with messages, and it can become increasingly hard to hear the shepherd's voice. You know, in addition to having all these voices around us, there's also an enemy. There's also an enemy at work in our midst that is desiring to lead us astray, to insert his voice. And it goes back to the beginning. You look at Adam and Eve, and what happened was the serpent entered the scene, and he distracted them. He sent another voice to them. And so we need to be on guard for that. We need to understand, we need to learn the shepherd's voice and to listen to that. And it's important because, as I said earlier, I'm a little bit directionally challenged. Sometimes I don't do well. And that can sometimes take place in more than just talking about driving. Sometimes in my life, I don't always know what's the best direction for me to go. Sometimes I always don't know what's the best decision to make. And I don't know where I'm going. And it's in those moments that it's important that we let Jesus lead and to trust in his direction. There was a time in my life where I was going through a period where I didn't know what God was doing, and I didn't see him at work, and I wanted him to be doing things, and he wasn't doing exactly what I expected him to be doing. And there was some tension there. And I remember as I started coming out of it, as I started getting to the other end, I started looking back and I started realizing that God was at work all along. And even though I didn't know what he was doing, he was there. And he was working things out for the best for me. And as I was reflecting on that, I wrote this poem. And it's on the back of your bulletin if you want to take a look at it. But it's called Implications. And it goes, "Sometimes I forget the implications of my being a sheep. I see some place I want to go. I see something I want to have, and I wonder why you say no. Sometimes I forget the implications of your being a shepherd. You see the places I want to go. You see the things I want to have, and you wonder why I won't let go. It is the shepherd who knows the path, and I ought to be thankful for your staff, which often pulls against my will, and despite my wandering, guides me still. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done, and in my life, may your will be done. The role of a sheep is simple. It's to follow the shepherd, to allow the shepherd to lead him, to lead them. It's really simple. And in that, we have an amazing promise. We have this promise that Jesus says, I know them. My sheep, they hear my voice, and I know them. How amazing is that? To think about God, the Father Almighty, the great shepherd, he can look at you and he can say, I know you. I know them. And he desires to lead you. But we have to follow Christ. We have to follow him. And that can be the hard part. See, we don't just get to wake up at our destination. God wants to lead us. God wants us to be moving. And in that, that can be real hard. I think of the 23rd Psalm as David is writing that. I kind of wonder as he talks about being in the valley of the shadow of death and God leading him through that. I kind of wonder if maybe there was a point where he was at the edge of that valley and he thought, you know what? Why don't we try to going around this? Why don't we maybe try to find a different route that I don't have to go through this? Or maybe he was looking at where he was going to be eating dinner and he said, God, why are you preparing a table before my enemies? Why can't I just have dinner with my friends? You know, when I look at the scripture reading that we read from Acts and we look at what Paul went through. We look at the persecution that he encountered everywhere he went. I wonder if he got tired of that and maybe asked God, why? Do I really have to go through this again? Why is that? Could I maybe just go around it this one time? See, all of us face hardships. And maybe we don't face persecution like Paul did. Or maybe we don't have to go through some of the stuff that David went through. But we all go through hard things. And as we reflected on the time of prayer earlier today, we know that there's people in our congregation who are going through hard times. Going through times where God might not seem to know what he's doing. There might be some confusion there. And there's always things that we'd rather avoid than go through. But that's where it comes back to our relationship with the shepherd. Do we trust him to lead us through that? To lead us through the illness? To lead us through death of loved ones? Through financial hardships? Through job changes? All these different things that we deal with. Do we trust God to lead us through that? Do we trust him to be at work even in the midst of those valleys? And it's not easy. It's not easy. And it wasn't easy for Jesus either. I'm often reminded of Jesus praying in the garden. And as he's about ready to go through one of the hardest, most trying ordeals that anyone has ever gone through, he's praying and he prays that God, if he could, just take this cup from me. But it's important that Jesus went through that, that Jesus submitted himself to the Father. And that despite not necessarily desiring to go through that, he did. He did it because God willed it, because it was his will. And in that, there is a peace. And I'm reminded of what Pastor Phil was talking about 2 weeks ago as Jesus declared that his peace is with us. And that's a peace that transcends our understanding. It's not understanding. It doesn't mean that God is going to tell you why you're going through some of these things or what the purpose is, but it's simply a peace that's in the midst of those conflicts, in the midst of those trials. And as we go through those, the closer that we get to the shepherd, the closer we are to the shepherd, the less those circumstances seem to matter. You know, I think of Paul. And you think of what mattered to Paul, the Apostle Paul. It wasn't not getting persecuted. What mattered to him was declaring that Christ was alive, that Christ lived for them, and declaring the good news of the gospel. As Paul got closer and closer to the shepherd, it didn't matter what his circumstances were. And that's the same question that we deal with today. What is your relationship like with the shepherd? What is your relationship to the shepherd? And who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus in your life? What difference does he make? As we move towards communion, I really just want you to think about that. Who is Jesus to you? And that's the same question that was asked of Jesus 2,000 years ago by the Jews. Who are you? Are you the Messiah? And I want to encourage you to look at the answer that Jesus gave. That his deeds answered that question for him. That Jesus is alive and that Jesus is resurrected so that you may live with him, so that he may give you eternal life. And the awesome thing about that is that all we have to do is follow. We just simply have to trust and allow him to lead us. And in that, if you could stand and join in singing, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us.